Hello, respective viewers. It's George Mylan. Welcome back to my channel once again. So, yesterday was the first coronation of my lifetime. I hope not the last. And Charles of that name, the third, was crowned King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, of Antigua and Barbuda, of the Bahamas, Belize, Canada, Australia, Jamaica, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, Tuvalu, Vanuatu. Have I missed a few? Grenada, there's 15 in all, the Commonwealth realms. He is, of course, head of the Commonwealth. Remember, of the 56 Commonwealth countries, only 15 of them have him as head of state, have him as their king. He's head of the Commonwealth, but it doesn't mean he's the head of state of each of the individual 56 Commonwealth countries, the majority of which are republics. So he's defender of the faith, but he prefers to be defender of faith, sir. And so significantly, they had members of various different religions involved. Like there was a Sikh peer of the realm, Lord Singh handing him a pair of gloves. There was a Muslim peer giving him something else for the ceremony, like somebody gives him the orb, someone hands him the scepter, and things like that. It was a deliberately multi-religious, multi-racial coronation ceremony. Obviously, that Archbishop of Canterbury, who's the highest priest in the Church of England, he presided over it. There was a blessing from the Archbishop of Westminster, who's the head of the Catholic Church in England and Wales, and so on. There was a role for some of the free churches in the Church of Scotland, and so forth. So it took place in Westminster Abbey, which is a church which dates back to the reign of Edward the Confessor, which he started building in the 1040s, and indeed was where William the Conqueror's crowned on Christmas Day 1066. So it was decidedly inclement weather. Was this an omen of unhappy augury for his reign? Will it be tristful? Was that heaven passing judgment as it rained on his parade, quite literally? Anyway, he's well received by the crowds, very small protests, easily contained by officers of the law. Of course, they're not allowed in royal parks, but not all this procession was through parks. Of course, people were absolutely entitled to demonstrate against the monarchy, but the police took certain decisions. They heard that rape alarms were being distributed to try and disrupt the proceedings. They arrested some people, suspecting them to be attempting to cause a breach of the peace. Was this an overreaction from the police? Possibly. The leader of Republic, an anti-monarchist group, he was arrested, which I think the police should not have done. But anyway, we shall see. But it all went off without a hitch. I mean, think how badly this could have gone. He could have been assassinated. There could have been a stampede in the crowd. There could have been a protest which disrupted the whole ceremony. But none of that happened. Not a single person was injured. Bearing in mind about 2 million people were on the streets during this. And actually, the downpour was welcomed for the police because it kept the crowds down. They could have delayed this to, say, July and been blazing sunshine and had doubled the crowds. So they built these temporary wooden walls around the secure zone, around Westminster Abbey, the Mall, and so on, Buckingham Palace. So a much smaller number of the public, perhaps 100,000 in that area, the police could easily handle. So the Metropolitan Police has 30,000 officers, virtually all of them on duty. They drafted in police from other parts of the United Kingdom, such as Wales, I saw Heatherloo, members of the armed forces, and tens of thousands of security guards just for private companies are hired in to assist the police in low-level things, not allowing people to go up and down certain streets. The ceremony went off smoothly. So Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, was there without his wife, Meghan Markle, and really had no role in it. And obviously, after the Archbishop of Canterbury pledged allegiance to His Britannic Majesty, then the Prince of Wales did so, the Prince of Wales being Prince William. So the eldest son of the monarch always has the title Prince of Wales. The second son has the title Duke of York, usually. However, the late Queen's second son, Prince Andrew, is very much alive. So he's the Duke of York, but he has two daughters. But when he dies, it won't pass to them. Even had a son, it wouldn't pass to him. The title is then farmed out to the second son of the monarch. But as Prince Harry is already the Duke of Sussex, I don't think they'll give him an additional duchy. There's no limit to the number of dukedoms one person can have. One person can hold several titles. You know, the Prince of Wales is usually the Earl of Carrick, the Lord of the Isles, the Duke of Cornwall, the Duke of Rothesay, and so forth. Okay, So anyway, at 10 o'clock in the morning, that's when he started his procession. The king started his procession from Buckingham Palace. He actually lives in Carlton House, prefers that. His horse-drawn Jubilee State coach. There was an honor guard of over 1,000 members of the army, the Royal Navy, and the Royal Air Force. So the ceremony took 2 hours, and 2,300 people were inside Westminster Abbey. They could have rather more than that. The crown heads of many countries were there. Monarchies were represented by someone other than the head of it. For example, the Crown Prince of Japan represented his elder brother. Naruhito is the emperor, and Akihito is his younger brother. As the Crown of Japan, the chrysanthemum throne could only pass to a male, and as Emperor Naruhito has one daughter, has no sons, the heir presumptive is his younger brother. So not all MPs got to go, just a small number, just about 40 that represented all the major parties. And there was obviously God Save the King was played there. So there was this rumor that King Charles was going to wear military uniform rather than traditional robes, but the rumor proved to be bogus. He did wear traditional silken robes. And it was a star-studded lot who were attending, like Lionel Richie, the American singer, Katy Perry, another American songstress, and Stephen Fry, the British actor, Emma Thompson, the British actress, and so on. The United States being represented by the First Lady Jill Biden and her granddaughter. So the President of France and his good wife were there. The First Lady of Ukraine, Alina Zelenska, was there. President Zelensky has other things to keep him busy at the moment. So 90 heads of state attended, and they invited almost every country in the world. The only countries to get no invites were Russia, Belarus, Iran, North Korea, I think Venezuela, Eritrea. I'm not sure about the others. So Charles was proclaimed as the undoubted king, and much attention came to Penny Mordaunt, who's Lord President of the Council and Leader of the House of Commons, this Conservative MP, and she carried the sword ahead of him. So people were marvelled that she managed to carry it steady, apparently quite a heavy sword, and have to hold up for a very long time. So there we go. That was her moment of glory, and people say she actually rocked that Anne Boleyn look. So the choir was absolutely Elysian. They're singing Zadok the Priest by Georg Friedrich Handel, and he wrote it in the early 18th century, I think, for the coronation of King George I. He came over from Germany, sorry, coronation of George II, I should say. He came over from Germany with George I, and it's been performed at each coronation since 1727. There was some screens were held up by some soldiers. We couldn't see the anointing of holy oil on the monarch. That's the so sacred that it's not to be seen by the public. And Her Majesty the Queen, the late Queen, she didn't allow it to happen. So there was a march past of 4,000 soldiers, airmen and sailors. Shows just how small the British military is. 90 military bands, and there were military personnel from the Commonwealth realms, but not very many of them. So it's a much, much smaller scale event than 1953. And the people from all over the world, from the USA and Canada, you know, had come to see it. And he came back. He went back to Buckingham Palace in the Golden State coach, drawn by the six Windsor Greys, as in the particular breed of horse. He and his wife, Queen Camilla, they of course appeared on the balcony to receive the adoration of the crowd. Unfortunately, the flight passed by the aerobatics team, the Red Arrows, had to be cancelled, consequent upon the bad weather. So that was it. The Metropolitan Police had many officers on duty, and it all went very, very well. Okay, but I've got to say, I thought it was rather a disappointment. I thought, that it, you know, it didn't really stun me. It wasn't very emotional for me. But they had Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, and Sikh and Zoroastrian representatives there. There was music in Irish, Scots Gaelic, and Welsh. The Greek Orthodox Church sang something, a tribute to the king's Greek father, and so on. And there was a Greek Orthodox Archbishop involved. So that's my penny's worth on the coronation. I've been looking forward to it a long time, but it was not as exhilarating, uplifting as I was hoping. It's just not as emotional as watching the 1953 event. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Toodaloo.